The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam. First Canto, Chapter Number 12, Text Number 2, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasathikari, recorded on December 6th, 2014, in Phoenix, Mauritius.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tasya Janma Mahabudhe Karmani Cha Maha Atmana Nidhanam Cha Yata Eva Asit Sa Pratya Gatavan Yata Tasya Janma Mahabudhe Karmani cha Mahatmana Nidhanam cha Yatai Vasit Sapratya Gatavan Yata Tasya Janma Mahabudhe Karmani cha Mahatmana Niranam cha yatai vasit Sapratya gatavan yata Tasya His of Maharaj Parikshit Janma Birth Mahabudhe Of great intelligence Karmani, activities, cha, also, Mahatmana, of the great devotee, Nidhanam, demise, cha, also, yata, as it was, eva, of course, asit, happened, sa, he, pratya, destination after death, gatavan, achieved, yata, as it were. Translation and purport, by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. How was the great emperor Parikshit, who was a highly intelligent and great devotee, born in that womb? How did his death take place? And what did he achieve after his death? Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The king of Hastinapur, now Delhi, used to be the emperor of the world, at least till the time of the son of Emperor Parikshit. Maharaj Parikshit was saved by the Lord in the womb of his mother, so he could certainly be saved from an untimely death due to the ill will of the son of a Brahmana, because the age of Kali began to act just after the assumption of power by Maharaj Parikshit. The first sign of misgivings was exhibited in the cursing of such a greatly intelligent and devoted king as Maharaj Parikshit. The king is the protector of the helpless citizens, and their welfare, peace, and prosperity depend on him. Unfortunately, by the instigation of the fallen age of Kali, an unfortunate Brahmana's son was employed to condemn the innocent Maharaj Parikshit. And so the king had to prepare himself for death within 7 days. Maharaj Parikshit is especially famous as one who is protected by Vishnu. And when he is unduly cursed by a Brahmin's son, he could have invoked the mercy of the Lord to save him. But he did not want to because he was a pure devotee. A pure devotee never asked the Lord for any undue favor. Maharaj Parikshit knew that the curse of the Brahmin's son upon him was unjustified, as everyone else knew. But he did not want to counteract it because he knew also that the age of Kali had begun at the first, and that the first symptom of the age, namely degradation of the highly talented Brahmin community, had also begun. He did not want to interfere with the current of the time, but he prepared himself to meet death very cheerfully and very properly. Being fortunate, he got at least 7 days to prepare himself to meet death, and so he properly utilized the time in the association of Shukadeva Goswami, the great saint and devotee of the Lord. So, Maharaj Parikshit is certainly our Siksha Guru, because he is teaching us how to die. It is sometimes said, as sure as death, therefore death is sure. We don't like it, but it's coming. Maharaj Parikshit knew he had 7 days. Can we guarantee we have 7 days? Can we guarantee we have 7 minutes? Can we guarantee we have 7 seconds before our death? Death may come at any time. So, should you be bewildered? Should you be depressed? Should you be confused or devastated that, oh no, death is coming? What should be the mood? Note the word of this purport, cheerfully. He was ecstatic. He was enlivened. He was fired up. Someone said, okay, you're going to die in 7 days. Would you become enlivened? Oh, wow, that's great. Haribo. You have terminal cancer, the doctor says. We give you 7 days to live. You're dancing in ecstasy. You see? Are we on that level? Brahmabhuta prasanatmana sochati na kankshati. No, we're still thinking, I'm this body. Oh, no, I'm going to die. Oh, I'm going to die. You see? Therefore, we have to learn from Parikshit Maharaj how to become very, very sober about who we actually are. You see? Because as long as we consider ourselves to be these bodies, we must be in anxiety about death. But as soon as you become liberated from this false conception, you understand your actual identity. It's a spiritual being, qualitatively one with the Supreme. And death is just another gulab jamun in the feast. That's it. I read the great Paramahamsas, when they leave their body, they don't even know when it happened. They're so absorbed in Krishna consciousness. It's like not a big deal. So how do we get from this state right now of bodily identification, where death is a very fearful thing for us, to get to this state of Maharaj Parikshit, where death is ecstatic thing? Wow, I'm going to die. Ki jai. How do we get to that position? You see? How do we become liberated souls? The topmost platform of bhakti. From our present neophyte stage as sadhakas. Well, it's very simple. You simply have to faithfully follow the sadhana bhakti process. That's so. Follow the rules and regulations of bhakti very sincerely, very devotedly, uninterruptedly. It's like we have a simple program, 16 rounds of japa at least every day, and no illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling. So we should strictly follow this. Strictly. There's no leniency on these points. You see, we have to strictly follow these points. And by this process of devotedly chanting our rounds, following these principles, we gradually will come out of this gross misconception that I'm this body, that I'm male, I'm female, I'm black, I'm white, I'm Mauritian, I'm American, etc. I mean, we're in a psychotic state. We're in a psychosis of bodily consciousness. And this is doing nothing but causing us so many unnecessary anxieties. Day in and day out, we have so many anxieties floating around our brains simply due to this false identification with the body. So one has to kick it out with the boot of transcendental knowledge. Kick it with boot. This false bodily conception. You see? Oh, but my body. No, come on. Not even your body belongs to Krishna. It's Krishna's property. Krishna has given you this body for a particular purpose. To awaken your dormant, loving relationship with Him. This is why you've gotten this human body. You have not gotten this human body to imitate the dogs and the hogs that eat stool. You have gotten this human body to become self-realized. That's why you've gotten this human body. Atato Brahma Jigyasa. Now you have a human body. You're meant to utilize it for self-realization. Not for sense gratification. If you want sense gratification, there's plenty of species which will give you better facility. The pigeons can have sex 50 times a day. You see, the birds can fly in the sky without an airplane. The fish don't need a scuba tank to swim in the depths of the ocean. The pig doesn't have to worry about who is about having sex, who's authorized for sex and who isn't. He has sex with anybody, his mother, no problem. His sister, no problem. His daughter, no problem. You see? If you want limited sex life, become a pig. You see? But if you want to actually become happy, if you want to get out of the chain of birth, death, old age, and disease, you better become serious about Krishna consciousness. Because that's what you're meant to do in this life. This human life, you are meant to become serious about understanding who you are and what is your relationship with God. That's the purpose of this human life. So don't be lackadaisical. Don't be lazy about the self-realization process. When it comes to making money, people are very fired up to make money. You see? But what is the value of that money? Can that money buy you liberation from birth and death? We're so dedicated to our careers, our jobs. What will you gain by all that money? What can you purchase with that? You see? Everything that we require is all God's gift anyway. Money is simply society's trick. It's a trick of the society. Of course, we can use it for Krishna. That is all right. The real thing is, you have to awaken your dormant love for God. That is already there. That's why we say your dormant love for God. You already have love of God within you. You're already a pure devotee of Krishna. You're already an eternal associate of the Lord from in his transcendental pastimes. You have an identity in Krishna's pastimes already. You have a swarup. But it's buried now by so many layers of lust, anger, greed, madness, delusion, and envy, going back to be accumulated for millions and billions of lifetimes. So it's not that instantly you can come out of it, although sometimes it happens. Katvanga Maharaj got liberated instantly. But, in generally speaking, it's a gradual process. We have to work very hard, very diligently, day in and day out, very devotedly working, chanting Hare Krishna, tasting prasad. These are the main activities. Taste prasad and chant Hare Krishna. This is what Rupa Goswami is teaching us. Jivado begins with your tongue. Atakshi Krishna Namadi Nabhavedrayam Indriyai Sevon Muke Hijivado Svayameva Spadatyadaha. Nobody can realize the transcendental name, fame, forms, pastimes of the Supreme Lord with his blunt materially contaminated senses. It's not possible. You can't do it. It's not possible. But if you will engage your senses in the service of the Lord, jivado, beginning with your tongue, you see, which has two functions, to vibrate sound and to taste foodstuffs. If you will take up the process of bhakti, jivado, beginning with your tongue, then what happens? You become spiritualized, you become Krishnaized, you become, your senses become purified, transcendentalized, surcharged with bhakti. And then the transcendental name, fame, forms, pastimes of the that beautiful Krishna who was standing in the bank at Keshi Ghat, blowing the fifth note on his flute and calling the gopi girls to dance in the rasa dance. That supreme personality of God, it will become fully known by you, intimately known by you, you see, in all of his features. You realize Krishna. You simply have to begin by engaging your tongue nicely in his service. That Krishna who is not realized by the great yogis, who is not realized by the powerful jnanis, he is fully realized by the bhakta. Fully realized by the bhakta.
Shintamani prakarasadma sukalpa vriksham lakshavrite shushurabira vipalayantam lakshmi sahastra shatasam brahma sevyamanam govindamadi purusham tamaham vajami.
I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord. He's full of unlimited splendor. Every aspect of him is absolutely amazing, stupendously wonderful. Every single aspect of Krishna. He's the first progenitor. He's tending the cows in abodes built with spiritual gems. He's surrounded by millions of purpose trees, and he's always served with great reverence and affection by hundreds and thousands of Lakshmis or gopis. Just imagine if you could directly meet that person, Krishna, who's the source of everything, who's manifesting the island of Mauritius from a portion of a portion of a portion of his energies, you see. Just imagine that amazing person. You can meet him. You can become his intimate associate. He's waiting for you to come back to him. Now, why are you simply going on thinking you're this body? Come out of it. Come back to your original consciousness. Is it? Krishna is just waiting. When they will come back? When we will come back? When they will come back? So we should not disappoint Krishna by remaining here is foolishly trying to gratify our senses. We should please Krishna, make him happy. He misses us more than we miss him. Krishna misses us. Therefore, we should not disappoint Krishna by carrying on with this stupid nonsense sense gratification mood here in this material world. We should kick it out. Come back to the pure devotional position. We are not meant to rot here in karma chakra. You understand these points? Do you understand these points? We are meant to bring our senses under control. Engage them fully in the service of Krishna. That is what you're meant to do. So that is taught by the bona fide spiritual master. If we follow the footsteps of the bona fide spiritual master in disciplic succession, obediently following his orders, dedicating ourselves to serving his orders, accepting him as our very life and soul, worshipping them within our hearts, in this way, if we embrace the orders of our Guru Maharaj and dedicate our life in his service, Krishna will recognize, you see. Some people say, oh, I don't need a guru. I'll just have Krishna as my guru, you see. I don't need a guru. I'll just have Krishna as my spiritual master. Well, what does Krishna say? Adi Parana. All right, you accept Krishna as your authority, that's very good, so then follow his instructions. What does he say? Ye me bhakti jana parta Name Bhaktastate Janaha Mad Bhaktanam Chaye Bhaktas Te Me Bhakta Tamamata. He says, the one who is my devotee, Name Bhaktas. He's not my devotee. But the devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. So you want to be a devotee of Krishna? Great. Well, do it. Be a real devotee of Krishna. Follow the instructions of the Lord. Become the devotee of his devotee. That's why we have to have a spiritual master. Guru is required. It's confirmed in the Mundaka Upanishad. Eva bigatschat. Tad vaganaratam sa gurum eva bigatschat. This is the Sanskrit grammar, vidilin form of the verb. It's like gachat or gachati, he goes. Gachanti, they go. Gachat, must go. When the vidilin form of the verb is used in Sanskrit, it's compulsory. So the Mundaka Upanishad uses vidilin form of the word go. Let's see. Vidilin form of the word go. Tadvaganartam sagarum eva bigatschat. Certainly you must go to a bona fide spiritual master if you want to actually know what is that absolute truth. You're not going to get it on your own speculation or by your own gymnastics. You must go to the bona fide spiritual master, and then you will get transcendental knowledge. Then you become awakened. The spiritual master is a liberated soul. And by following the liberated soul, you become a liberated soul. Otherwise, you remain, all of us, we simply remain slaves of the material nature. If we don't agree to serve a bona fide spiritual master, we remain slaves of the material nature. That's it. So, not a very good deal being a slave of the material nature. It's a raw deal. It's miserable because it's not our natural position. You take a fish out of the water, he can't be happy because it's not his natural position. You take us out of devotional service of the Lord, you cannot be. I don't care if you have money, if you're surrounded by family members, I don't care what, a nice house, a nice car, I don't care what material facilities you have, if you're not engaged in your constitutional nature to serve the Supreme Person, you're going to be miserable. You'll be miserable. So don't carry on to some artificial idea of you can be happy in this material world without devotional service. Just kick out these stupid ideas. You cannot be. It's not possible. You can only be satisfied and happy by taking shelter of Guru and Krishna. To come back to your original nature as a completely sold out, surrendered devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That will satisfy you. That will give you unlimited happiness, as confirmed by Rishabhadev. Brahmasaukyam tvanantam. You will achieve that state of happiness where your bliss goes on increasing unlimitedly forever. Ever increasing bliss. So therefore we should become very greedy for this thing called bhakti. Very, very greedy. Just like a businessman. He wants more profit. Every business deal he wants to make a profit. To become a wealthier and wealthier businessman, we should have that same greediness of a businessman. You see? That I want more bhakti. Every time I chant, I want to chant it in such a way I get more bhakti. Every time I hear a Bhagavatam class, I want to hear it in such a way I get more bhakti. Every time I offer my obeisances, I want to do it in such a way I increase my bhakti. Every time I honor Prasadam, I want to do it in such a way I increase my bhakti. You see? Every time I chant my rounds, I want to do it in such a way that my bhakti is increasing. You see? Greedy, greedy, greedy for pure bhakti. You see? That is the mood. Lal Yam, Rupa Goswami says. He says, Krishna bhakti rasa bhavita mati kriyatam yadi kato palabhyate tatta la yam api muya janma. Janma, what is that? Krishna bhakti rasa bhavita mati kriyatam yadi kato milamyate tattadayam jul. Just not forgetting.
Janma 14.
Huh?
Janma
Yes. He says, pure devotional service in Krishna consciousness cannot be had even by executing pious activities in hundreds and millions of lives. It can be achieved only by paying one price, and that is the intense greed to obtain it. If it is available somewhere, one must purchase it without delay. So we have to be like them. Very, very greedy and eager for pure devotional service. So we can ask for there's some questions now. We have questions here locally, and also we have some questions coming in from our audience on the internet. So we'll go back and forth between the locals and the non-local questions. First of all, we'll take a few local questions. We have no Brahmins here at the temple. Is there no second initiated here? Do we have any second initiated devotees of the temple? There's no second initiates? Then should we import Brahmins from India to maintain the... No, you should make the local devotees into Brahmin. There's so many... And it's a shame if you have to import Brahmins from India. It's a shame. The local devotees should become second initiated and have a team effort to serve the deities. There's so many devotees here. You can easily have many, many Brahmins here, and you organize it so everybody has their day when they do the deity worship. It's a shame if you have to bring Brahmins from India. It's a shame. It's a disgusting shame. Okay. Is it possible to know what one's service in Krishna's pastimes in the spiritual world before we fell down? Sure, when you go back, you'll know. Right now, don't try to guess. If you think, well, I think I was a gopi, I mean, you know. Even one of my god brothers, I couldn't believe it. He dressed up in a sari, thinking that he was a gopi. That's called sahaja. Don't get into these sahaja trips. Just be the sold-out servant of your spiritual master in Srila Prabhupada's mission. See? Don't try to guess. One brahmachari, he was told by some Radhakund Babaji that actually you're a peacock in Krishna's pastimes. So they found him in his room in Mayapur. He was going, hoo, 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 hoo. Prabhu, what are you doing? I'm practicing my rasa. Don't go to Radhakunda Babaji's and have them tell you what your sarup is. It's bogus. It's a bogus thing. Just understand your sarup is you're a Prabhupada Anuga. You're a follower of Prabhupada. That is your sarup. And that will also be your sarup in the spiritual world. I am a follower of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. You become very devoted in following Srila Prabhupada, and that will all be revealed to you in due course. It actually happens... Technically speaking, when you get to this stage called a sakti, it's a very high level stage of advancement. When you come to the asakti stage, you realize what is your relationship with Krishna. Don't try to guess it now. You will never achieve a sakti if you try to think you know what you are right now. Don't do it. Okay, so we'll take a few. Here's Bhakti Shashank from Delhi. How to give up my show-off mentality? Just understand that you're rascal number one, and if anything you show off is going to be your stupid nonsense. So better not to show off anything. Rana Lee from Austin, Texas. Bhaktan Rana Lee. How concerned should I be about my mind wandering during japa? This is an art, because it's a natural thing when we begin chanting, our mind wanders here and there and everywhere. So you should understand, it is not like to be devastated by it. It's natural for a neophyte devotee to have a wandering mind. Everyone goes through it. Unless you were born as a pure devotee, everyone goes through the problem of a wandering mind during japa. So you just have to When that mind, it's like you're training a child. Aren't children naughty by nature? But the mother gradually reforms them and teaches them how to become well-behaved children. So you just be the mother, and your mind is the kid. The mind is going to run around wild. We just have to gradually train it. My dear mind, now it's time for japa. Let's focus on the holy name now. So in this way, you just gradually, like a mother training a child, you just gradually train your mind. It's something you should be concerned with. It's not something to become overwhelmed by, but just something to take as your duty, and you can gradually do it. It will happen if you take it diligently on a day-by-day basis. Let me try to be a little more focused today than I was yesterday, and gradually you will achieve it. And then she also asked, does the chanting still count? Yeah, go ahead. If you had to, you'll have to count it, because if I say, well, I'm not going to chant, I won't count this bead until I chant it perfectly. You'll never get your rounds done. Because in the beginning, our rounds are not perfect. We start off in the offensive stage, we gradually come to the clearing stage, and gradually the offenseless stage. If I had to chant a perfect round before I, 16 perfect rounds before I finished my japa, we'd be chanting 24 hours a day, and we wouldn't have time to do anything else. You see, because our rounds are imperfect now. We're not completely on the offenseless stage yet. Our rounds are imperfect. So do your best and go ahead and count it. Now, if you're completely off the track, then you could chant the round again. But we can't do that. We can't just, keep chanting one round again and again and again until it's perfect. Because that perfect chanting will not come until we achieve the offenseless stage. Okay, here we go. A local question from Phoenix, Mauritius. Please differentiate the relationship between Srimati Tulsi Devi to Krishna and Radharani to Krishna. What's the difference? They're both pure devotees. I don't see much difference. They're both in complete ecstasy of pure love of God. I don't see any difference. And the process of devotional service starts in the material world, but it develops to the fullest in the spiritual world. Kindly elaborate. It's described as a creeper in the scriptures. When you come in contact with a bona fide spiritual master, he plants the seed of bhakti within your heart. Bhakti lata bij. The seed of the bhakti creeper is planted in your heart. And by chanting and hearing about Krishna and avoiding the offenses, then that creeper gradually grows. It goes past the heavenly planets. It penetrates the coverings of the material universe. It enters the spiritual world. It goes all the way to Goloka Vrindavan. It wraps itself around the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna, at which point the full-blown fruit of love of God becomes manifested and ripened. Okay, here's a question from someone internationally. How not to be disappointed and discouraged when compared to other devotees progressing so nicely? I don't feel I'm doing so and not really feel very happy. If I had to compare myself to, Narada Muni or Rupa or other great liberated personalities, I could become discouraged very quickly about my position. So instead of comparing myself to some liberated souls, I should just compare myself where I am now to where I was before. And then it's very encouraging. You see? Just compare yourself where you are now, where you were previously, before you took up Krishna consciousness, and become happy and alive. And wow, I'm so much better off than I was before. Don't compare yourself against, some great sannyasi or something. It's nice to be inspired by the sannyasis and the spiritual masters, but don't think you have to be like that immediately. Just see that you are advancing very nicely every day from where you started off. You see? And then you will become a great transcendentalist in due course. You got to always keep yourself enthused and fired up. You see? That's very important. Wow, another day, another chance to advance in Krishna consciousness. Take it like that. Okay, here's another one from the local devotees. The ideal would be to chant your rounds, offer or attend Mangalarti, and cook prasadam to offer to Krishna. One Prabhu once said that if one does not chant his 16 rounds and cook prasadam to offer to Krishna, Krishna does not accept it. Kindly advise what is appropriate to a household who has to balance his spiritual life and work and family. Yeah, it'd be nice if you could get your round done first before you cook the offering for the Lord, no doubt. But if it's not practical, do what's practical. Do the needful, Prabhupada always said. So do whatever, do the needful, but there's no rule that you can't cook an offering for the Lord until your rounds are done. That's not a rule. It's nice, but it's not a hard and fast rule. Okay. Prajalpa, this is nonsense talk, is very common in the Mauritian culture. How does it affect us in our devotional service? It ruins your devotional service. As soon as you engage in frivolous talk, not related with Krishna, you're just pouring water on the fire of bhakti within your heart. So instead of talking prajalpa, talk about Krishna. There's so many things you discuss about Krishna. Just read every spare minute, read Prabhupada's books, and then share what you're reading. Just like the other day, I was reading the Majjalila from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. I read the most amazing, wonderful thing. You know what Lord Nityananda's mood is? Lord Nityananda accepts anybody who is serving Lord Chaitanya as his very life and soul. So that means if you will serve Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda accepts you as his very life and soul. Now that's pretty enlivening stuff, isn't it? It's more enlivening than talking about who's going to win the election here in Mauritius. You know what I mean? I mean, that's so enlivening. Anybody who is serving Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda accepts that devotee as his very life and soul. Now that's incredible information. So read these books. Every spare minute, read these books and then share what you're reading. And prajalpa will disappear out of your dictionary. The word prajalpa won't be in your dictionary anymore. Okay, now another question from the Mauritius side. Are all the various kinds of devotional service equal? Yes. Like dressing the deities and washing the pots of the temple? Yes. Actually, in India, you know, to be a cleaner is considered very low class. The cleaner class. What do they call them? Bungees? What's the word? Bungees. Yeah, very low class. The toilet cleaners, the cleaners, very low class, dirty people. When Prabhupada installed the temple opening address in Hyderabad, he said, the temple is the body of Krishna. So whether you're cleaning the temple or you're bathing the deity, it's one and the same thing. So don't think, well, you know, here I am, they've asked me to clean the toilet here at the temple. This is low class. Someday I want to be able to do some high class service. I want to be able to bathe the deities. But here they have cleaning the toilet. It's the same thing. Whether you're cleaning the toilet or you're bathing the deities, it's transcendental devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prabhupada said, don't think otherwise. He drummed it in. Don't think otherwise. Okay, here I have another question from the internet. How to develop a strong connection with Guru? It's very simple. You have whatever instructions your spiritual master gives you, you accept them as your very life and soul. What's the example? Srila Prabhupada. He was told by Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur that you should spread the message of Krishna to the English-speaking world. Srila Prabhupada accepted that order as his very life and soul. He dedicated his whole life to carrying out that order, you see. That's how he became so strongly connected with Guru Maharaj, that Guru Maharaj was with him at every minute within his heart, seeing everything that he did, guiding him at every minute, and blessing him at every minute because he embraced that order as his very life and soul. Shri Radha Golokananda ki jai. So, what about that order to spread Krishna consciousness to the English-speaking world? Prabhupada expanded that order to his disciples. You know the order he gave to his disciples? You spread this Krishna consciousness movement to every country of the world, in every language. Prabhupada took it, the same order, and he expanded it. So now, as the followers of Srila Prabhupada, we have that order sitting on our heads. Now you make the whole world Krishna conscious. If you will take that order coming from Prabhupada as your life and soul, that I, a member of this movement, have been ordered to make the whole world Krishna conscious, you see, then you'll have a very strong connection. You see? So your spiritual masters, the spiritual masters of ISKCON, they have that order to make the whole world Krishna conscious. And they pass it on to their disciples. You also must make the whole world Krishna conscious. This is the family business in our society. So, if you will assist your spiritual master in making the world Krishna conscious, you dedicate your life to assist your spiritual master in his mission of making the whole world Krishna conscious, and then you're subtly connected with him at every minute, wherever you are, 24/7. In kirtan, can we enjoy it? Or is it false sahaja mentality? What is Prabhupada's order? Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. So if you're not happy, you're a guru aparadhi. If you're chanting Hare Krishna and you're morose, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You're a guru aparadhi. You're supposed to be enlivened, fired up, happy. Well, I don't feel ecstatic. I don't feel ecstatic to dance in ecstasy. Prabhupada said, dance and the ecstasy will come. You don't feel like dancing? Dance anyway, rascal. And the ecstasy will come. You see? We're rascals. I'm just saying that to remind, I'm also a rascal, you see. But we're rascals because we don't want to dance in the kirtan. Lord Chaitanya has come and we don't feel like dancing. We're rascals, you see. So we should dance even though we don't feel like dancing, you see. And then the ecstasy will come. Now, Atma Meda Das from Lithuania. Let's see. Let's scroll down. I got to move it here. Where it's, okay. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said that too much devotion. Anamita, your question isn't clear. Too much devotion, is it sin of theft? I think there's some typo there. You better redo your question. It's not clear. Shashank from Delhi. Is chanting the toilet, is cleaning the toilet, shout, is cleaning the toilet the shower to the soul? What? Cleaning anything you do in Krishna's service is bathing your soul. That's a fan. Whatever you do, Prabhupada said, cleaning the temple is cleaning your heart. So if you're asked to go clean a pot in the kitchen, by scrubbing the black soot off of that pot, you're cleaning, scrubbing the soot out of your heart. You're cleaning the toilet, you're cleaning your heart also. So take this cleaning very, very seriously. This cleaning business is very serious business. Suchi, the temple should be spotlessly clean. By cleaning the temple, any part of the temple, the deities, the toilet, the pots in the kitchen, any cleaning you do for Krishna is purifying your heart. Divya Priya from Atlanta, Georgia, USA. how to get the art of talking to everyone about Krishna in our everyday life. Well, just be creative, you know. You have the desire to talk about Krishna to everyone. It's like when I'm traveling, we do that. You know, we check in, and the airline representative will say, "Well, where are you going?" We say, "Well, we're going to Mauritius. I'm going to give a series of lectures on Krishna consciousness in Mauritius." Always try to bring in Krishna. You see, if you desire to do it, Krishna will give you the intelligence. And someone says, "Well, how are you?" I say, "Well, I'm feeling really fired up because I chanted Hare Krishna this morning." "How are you doing?" "I'm feeling so fired up because I chanted Hare Krishna this morning." "Oh, really? What is this Hare Krishna?" See, use every opportunity to tell people about Krishna. If you have a desire to share Krishna, it's an easy thing to do. Even in ordinary worldly dealings, you know. Just like in the chat, you wear your tilak wherever you go. Much as possible. I was checking out of the grocery store. The girl said, "What's that on your forehead?" I said, "This is the sign of someone who has conquered over death. If you like, I will teach you how to conquer over death." You see. Then I gave her my card. You see. Yeah. Oh, it was amazing. And I never had such a wonderful experience. We just arrived, we were passing through London, and the customs official said, "I like your tilak." We had a whole Krishna conscious conversation with the customs official. It was amazing.
He didn't say tilak because he's not
the... He didn't know what it was. He says, "I like that, what's on your forehead." And we had a wonderful conversation with him. You see. You should be very aggressive to tell everybody about Krishna. Otherwise, you have no love. That means you don't care about anybody. You're just a selfish beast. You should try to tell everybody about Krishna, because they're dying without Krishna consciousness. Okay. Now, I don't understand his question. Too much devotion. It is a sign of... Oh, yeah, I understand what he's saying. I understand what Atmaveda is asking now. Prabhupada once said, too much devotion, there is motive. Somebody makes a big show of being very, very devoted, which seems a little out of place, that seems artificial, then you know there's some motive, you know, like a thief. Just like, I remember our temple commander in Gainesville, Florida, many years ago, back in my brahmachari days. The temple commander, if you came to him and flattered him, he'd say, "Okay, what do you want? You want something out of me? What is it?" So yeah, if somebody is too much flattering, artificially showing so much devotion, you understand there's some motive. They want something. That's a principle. Yes. Okay. Here's a local question. We have to kick out the bodily consciousness. Then why do we have to worship the body of the spiritual master? We're kicking out bodily consciousness. Do you think so? Yeah, the body of the spiritual master is not an ordinary body, even though it's made of material elements. Because that body is fully being engaged in the service of the Lord, therefore that body becomes spiritual. It's a fully spiritualized body. So even when the spiritual master dies, we don't burn his body. We bury his body, and that place becomes a place of pilgrimage. You see? Because that body is fully being absorbed in Krishna's service. Does that mean the spiritual master thinks he's his body because he lets you offer flowers at his feet? He thinks that he's his body? No. That's not... But the spiritual master's body, just as the deity body is made of material elements, but Krishna has fully manifested himself. The person Krishna has fully manifested himself in those material elements. So you think the deity is simply a stone statue, you're a great offender. So if you think the body of the spiritual master is material, then you're an offender. It's not material. It is a material body, but it's a fully spiritualized material body. It will die, although there are great personalities who actually left. The Pandavas left and they're self-same bodies back to home, back to Godhead. But generally, the rule is that the body is left behind. Prabhupada left his body behind. So that place where Prabhupada left his body behind, that is Prabhupada's samadhi in Vrindavan. His body is buried there. So that's a place of pilgrimage for devotees all over the world. That's the holiest place in the universe where Prabhupada's body is buried. So do not think the spiritual master's body is material, because it's fully absorbed in the service of Krishna, therefore that body is spiritual. Okay, so are there any more questions? I don't see any more. Okay, here's one more from the internet. This will be the last question. How can I make the world Krishna conscious if I myself am not Krishna conscious? Good point. Since Prabhupada has given us a duty that each and every one of us must dedicate ourselves to making the world Krishna conscious, what does that mean? We have to be Krishna conscious. Prabhupada said, physician, heal thyself. So we've been given the duty of healing the delusioned people of this world by giving them this medicine of Krishna bhakti. That means we have to be qualified physicians. So therefore, Prabhupada said, the most important thing is to save the world, but even more important is to save yourself. So this is a very good point. We therefore have to take our most important business is to revolutionize our own hearts. Because you can only revolutionize the world to the extent that you've revolutionized your own heart. Do you understand? You can only revolutionize this world to the extent that you have revolutionized your own heart. So therefore, take your chanting as a very, very important thing. Not only for your own salvation, to do your duty as a liberator of the fallen souls of this world, you have to qualify yourself by quality japa, quality devotional service. Because otherwise, how you can train anybody else? If your service is not qualitative, how you can train someone else to do qualitative service? Is it? So there's a very good point. Our first most important duty is that I must become the pure devotee of Krishna. That is my most important thing I must do. I must become Krishna's pure devotee. And then, to whatever extent you've been able to awaken your own Krishna consciousness, to that extent you'll become potent and powerful for awakening the Krishna consciousness within the hearts of the conditioned souls. So on that note, we will stop here today. And we thank you all very much for your participation in this movement. Make your lives perfect, and make the lives of your people here in Mauritius perfect by giving them Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
His Grace Sankarsan Dasa Adhikari Maharaj ki jai.